This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Jets?
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jets are tearing it all down.
Wow, they really are.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Chargers safety Derwin James. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've already chatted with Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and perennial Pro Bowler Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, you can check us out through our podcast. And of course, there's the re-air ability for you to click on the tile on our Disney Plus page, and you can watch all 3 hours whenever you want. There's also our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We say hello to those who are also streaming on the ESPN app and listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 80 or ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. I've already administered my power rankings. That's all out there, but those are all in the past in a rearview mirror. Let's talk about the present and what happened yesterday as well with our buddy from Sports Illustrated, the man who writes the MMQB for you, Albert Breer, is back here on the program. Good to see you, Bert. How are you?
Sir.
Good to see you, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Do you got a new camera set up, Albert?
Yeah, it's a little clearer, right? We need to fiddle with it a little bit. I'm not exactly like a technical expert on this stuff, but they were able to walk me through it. I think it looks a little better.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Man. I like it. A new fantasy team name, 4K Breer.
There you go.
Breer in 4K.
Looks like he's in 8K. Wow.
Okay.
Just want you to know I'm making an effort here, Rich.
Fantastic. All right. So much to ask you about, brother. Why did the Jets do what they did yesterday?
You know, I think it was really about the opportunities that got put in front of them. You know, the Colts initiated the conversation on Sauce, and, you know, the Cowboys had been calling around and had actually broached the topic of Quinnen when the Micah Parsons talks were going on. So, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, hearing about the Jets process and what they went through and how they've assessed their roster. And, you know, one big thing I think at the beginning of all of this was when they signed Sauce Gardner to the contract in July. It was like, let's make sure this is a responsible contract that we could trade, because you just never know what's going to come along. You never know what's going to happen. So, you know, you want to reward the player, but then you also want to give yourself that flexibility, and that pays off here. And, you know, I think there's still Darren Mogi and Aaron Glenn in an evaluation process on their roster. And I do think, like, their view of what they were in July and August hasn't really come to fruition. I think that goes without saying, right? So they're at 1-7. And these offers start coming in, and they've sort of put word out that they were open for business on almost everybody in the roster. Quinnen was one guy that seemed like he was off limits, you know, along with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. And once the bidding started, you know, I think the Micah Parsons deal sort of became the bellwether on Sauce. And so, you know, that was two first-round picks and a quality player, which, you know, the Cowboys got Kenny Clark in that deal, and the Jets wind up with A.D. Mitchell here. And then I think the completion of the Sauce deal sort of kicked the Quinnen talks into overdrive. And now, you know, they're set up. I think the most interesting thing about this, right, like, so we all know they've got two first-round picks, two second-round picks this coming year, and then three first-round picks in what should be a bumper crop, you know, in 2027. That's what NFL people are talking about how good that draft is. But in the time being, like, they still have a nice core of young players. Garrett Wilson at receiver. We'll see if they re-sign Breece. But then, you know, the tackle positions, Olufoshanu and Armon Membu. At defensive end, they've got Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald. So there's still young talent to work with there. And, you know, really when you're talking about their timeline, their ability to get a quarterback done, now they've got a lot of capital going forward.
So let me just hit the 2027 draft, 2026 and 27 drafts, because it's not just for the Jets fan base out there. Yeah. There's the Browns as well. There's other ones clearly that might be in their minds quarterback needy or prospect needy. And we spoke to Daniel Jeremiah last week, Albert, and he's like, you know, I haven't really grinded the tape just yet, but I have no earthly idea who the first overall pick of the 2026 draft. And we all know the quarterback class it hasn't really come to the fore. The conversations that we were having, it sounds real quaint now, about Arch Manning and you know, the Browns being asked, you know, point blank, you know, what about Arch before the season even began, right? Like that was asked of ownership. You're shaking your head. You know what I mean? So what?
I mean, it was crazy though, because you remember me talking to everybody off the ledge in May. I do feel vindicated with this one. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Of course. So, but walk me through what you are hearing about those classes as we're now post trade deadline, and there's a lot of teams that have fan bases already looking forward to next year. Albert.
Yeah. So, like for the most part, what I've heard about 26 is the top of the draft isn't very strong. And, you know, you've got Bain from Miami as defensive end. You know, you've got Proctor, the tackle from Alabama. Like, there are some names that are thrown around up there, Caleb Downs at Ohio State. But I don't think that you're looking at it and saying, like, God, man, if you're in the top 10 or 15, you're going to walk away with a franchise player at a premium position. I just don't know that exists at the top of this year's draft. Then look ahead a year. Right. Look into 2027. You have Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. You have Ryan Williams at Alabama. You have a couple of edge rushers and Colin Simmons at Texas and Dylan Stewart at South Carolina. You've got a premium corner and Leonard Moore at Notre Dame. And oh, by the way, the quarterbacks, like, I don't know where these guys are going to be a year from now. So this is just speculative.
Sure.
But Dylan Raiola at Nebraska. You have CJ Carr at Notre Dame. You have Arch Manning potentially then, if he can improve, coming out in 27 out of Texas. You have Julian Sand in Ohio State. So, like, I know we always kind of like look at this like, but wait until next year. You know what I mean? Like, but it does feel like you're looking at a lot of guys in that class who are top end players now and were contributing as true freshmen. A lot of those guys were playing as true freshmen, you know? And so, like, that was part of the Jets' thinking was, okay, how do we want this trade structured? And they actually asked the Cowboys for a first-round pick in 27 rather than 26, taking the two in 26. And that was the reason why. And I think you're going to see some of that thinking as we get closer to the draft, too, unless we see big jumps from some of these guys over the course of the next couple of months that'll be in the 26 class. I think you are going to see some teams that are going to be at least, you know, open to the idea of moving 26 picks into 27.
How about that? What's your reporting on the Chiefs coming close to Breece Hall? What's your reporting on that, Albert?
Well, I mean, obviously that ties to, you know, a current injury they have with Isaiah Pacheco. Now, they do expect Pacheco back, but depth is a question at that position. Pacheco has been banged up a lot over the last couple of years. They didn't have him at the end of last year, which obviously was a problem for them. And so, you know, the idea of adding a running back was certainly on the board for them. So, you know, they've got an older player in Kareem Hunt there now. Breshad Smith's a really interesting weapon, and he is a running back by trade. But the idea of adding a player was definitely on their radar, as well as adding a defensive tackle potentially over the last week or so. I just think the price was too high, you know. There was a point earlier in the year where I think you might have been able to get Breece Hall for a fourth from the Jets. But, you know, this is another one of those things. Like, the Jets, I think, have been really intentional about evolving their value on their players over the course of the year. And, you know, even though they haven't been very good, Breece Hall has been so central to what they're trying to do offensively. And his value is bumped up even a little bit by Braylon Allen, who they thought a lot of being hurt. You know, they thought Allen was going to be almost like a 1A, 1B with Hall, and not having him, I think, made Hall even more valuable to what they're doing in the here and the now. So I don't think that the Chiefs were going to go to a third round pick on a player that's just a rental. And that's what Breece Hall would be with an expiring contract.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Chris Greer wouldn't have traded Jalen Phillips. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't seem like, you know, that there was such a fire sale by the Dolphins that move had to be made, unless, again, we all look around and only talk about what we see. You obviously might have more vision on what else was going on behind the scenes in a lot of these places. And let's start with the Dolphins. Was Jalen Waddle close? Like, why is he still on the Dolphins right now?
I would say, like, we're talking before Chris Greer was let go on Friday. I would say, like, the other 31, the teams that were talking to the Dolphins were really under the impression that there were guardrails on Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, just as far as what they were able to do because of the tenuous, you know, the tenuous future of the franchise. Now, they were open to listening on almost anybody. Like, Jalen Waddle was kind of a no. I'd say Chop Robinson probably a no, but everyone else they were open for business on. It's just, could you really get a deal to the finish line with, you know, with Chris Greer's job on the line the way it was? And I would say after Chris Greer was like, oh, on Friday, things opened up a little bit. Right. And, you know, I think Champ Kelly had a little bit of freedom, like, hey, like, see what's out there for some of the players on the roster. Jalen Phillips made sense. You know, of course, he's up after the year, so this is a rental. The chance to get a top 100 draft pick was really, really attractive, you know, when you're in the middle of a lost year. But they easily could have moved Minka Fitzpatrick if the right offer had come across the table. I think they would have been open to moving, you know, Bradley Chubb or a Matthew Judon. Like, those sorts of things were definitely in play. I think the two players that were closer to untouchable, I'm not saying anybody's untouchable because we saw with the Jets' actions that everybody's got a price. The two players I think were a little closer to untouchable for them would have been Jalen Waddle and Chop Robinson.
Okay. Now, did the Steelers and Bills not consider themselves receiver needy? And again, I know the way the fan bases are looking at it, even if any fan base that thinks they could use a receiver sees Rashid Shaheed go to Seattle and watch Jacoby Myers go to Jacksonville for a grouping of third day picks. And why did that happen and other places not get anybody, Albert?
So I think, well, first of all, like, one thing I've learned doing this for over 20 years is that everybody thinks their team needs a receiver for a couple of reasons. One, like, it's fun to watch receivers and there's a fantasy football effect there. And two, you can put a lot of them on the field at once. So everybody feels like they could use a better two or yet a better three. It's just sort of the reality, the way people look at this. I'd say in the case of the Steelers, they like the group that they have now. And, I think guys like Calvin Austin and, you know, Roman Wilson, like, were guys that they really like that they've developed. Austin was somebody that they felt like, you know, really, you know, coming out of last year was ready to take a step forward. DK has been great. And so, like, I just look at where the Steelers are. They still want to be a draft and develop team. And was the juice worth the squeeze with any of those guys where you're going to step in the way of the development of one of your younger guys? You also have the ability there to play with multiple tight ends, which they've got great depth at the tight end position. I'd say the Bills is a little bit different in that, like, I don't think receiver was their top priority. Did they kick tires? Yeah, I mean, they called New Orleans on Olave and Shaheed, and they did their due diligence there. I think if they had made a trade over the last couple of days, the likelihood is it would have been for a defensive tackle. And the reason why is because Ed Oliver got hurt. And Ed Oliver, you could argue, is their most important defensive player. He's injured for the second time. They might get him back. Like, there's hope that they could get him back in the playoffs, but that's no sure thing. And so, you know, I know after the way that they played defensively, the other night, like, the idea was to, like, hey, can we make this sustainable and can we add something there? And I think defensive tackle would have been higher on their list than receiver.
I mean, again, you're taking a look at the teams that are sitting atop their conferences, and the 2-1 seeds were active. You know, obviously the Eagles did what they usually do, which is add to the line and the back end, right? Yep. And also the Colts doing what they did. And I'm wondering, you know, what you would think of the, if you will, take that I had at the end of my first hour of this show, Albert, is that, you know, you add Sauce, totally get it, understood. Yep. Flip 2-1s for him, it's a high price. But when you flip 2-1s, that gives you the indication that you're not going to go in the quarterback market. in the draft. Yeah. And I'm wondering if they have, do you think they've made their evaluation through nine games of Daniel Jones and say, he's the guy? This is it? This is our guy?
I think I'd like to be Daniel Jones's agent right now.
Right?
No, I think Daniel Jones has a lot of leverage, you know. So, and with the, I think the franchise tag is going to be up over $45 million this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to make the assessment looking at all of this, the mosaic of it, that this is a doubling down on their core, right? Like, so this is basically saying we don't have major needs yet left, right? Like, we believe in. And you go down the list, Bernard Raymond, Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Jonathan Taylor, DeForest Buckner, Zaire Franklin,
Warren,
all those guys, yeah. So it's basically saying, like, yep, we're good. We've got our core for the next few years. These picks are these picks mean less to us now. So we're pushing our chips in. We're going to fill the one hole we have. We're going to turn what was a weakness. And they've been asking around on corners for the last couple of weeks, right? Like, they're going to get Tre'Davious Ward back off of injured reserve. And now Sauce Gardner comes in. And ostensibly, they're going to turn what was a weakness, the biggest weakness into the roster, into a huge strength. So, you know, I think there's that element of it. It is doubling down there. And you're right. Like, giving away two first-round picks does cut you off at the knees when it comes to the chance to acquire a quarterback over the next couple of years. And so that tells you that they're all in on Daniel Jones and that they're going to move forward with Daniel Jones the same way, you know, the Buccaneers brought in Baker Mayfield as a reclamation project and then doubled down on him. I'd expect the Colts will do the same thing with Jones, and rightfully so. I mean, last weekend notwithstanding, and that wasn't great against the Steelers, you know, he's looked like a different quarterback in Indianapolis.
I mean, it's amazing how things turn, right? It's amazing how things work in that respect. And then Seattle going ahead and adding a burner to an offense that is featuring. I was saying yesterday, Albert, your guy, JSN, he's threatening a 2,000-yard receiving season. That's how amazing he has been. And Darnold looks even better than he did in Minnesota. You know, like he really has stepped it up. Seattle's no joke. And
it's
they
such
just
a great,
added a big piece, I think, you know, a deep threat like that.
It's such a great, I mean, well, there are a couple things here. I mean, first of all, it's such a great lesson about giving up on a quarterback, right? Like, and like what, like how, like a lot of times how tied to circumstances the development of a quarterback is, right? Like there are very few quarterbacks that can overcome train wreck circumstances. And a lot of them wind up learning and growing from them. And obviously Sam's an example of it. Baker's an example of it. Daniel Jones is now becoming an example of it. Geno was an example of it. So there's that. I think the other thing is that's interesting about this is like what this was fueled by, which to me is what would give the Jets fans hope in their approach now is like what fueled the Seahawks, you know, retooling was the Russell Wilson trade. And how they turn those picks into players, whether you're talking about Charles Cross or JSN or Devin Witherspoon, the guys that they were able to hit on after, you know, they made that trade, all the capital that came in, and it's not all one for one, but the amount of capital that they had, and then having like a couple of huge drafts where you had monster pieces coming in and then complementary pieces coming in down the line. That allows you to do something like this. And what I love about the Shaheed move is like you could explain it to a five-year-old. You know what I mean? Like it's like, okay, you have like kind of like the do-it-all weapon in JSN, right? You've got the possession receiver in Cooper Kupp, and here comes the burner who's gonna compliment them, right? Like we could explain that to our kids pretty easily and they would get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's such a logical move and you know, sometimes you want to be playing checkers and not chess. And I think John Schneider was playing checkers on this one. It was like, that just makes too much sense not to add to what's a really great core of players that we've been able to build here.
Yeah, man. I mean, although I don't know if you saw the video of that dad telling his son that his favorite player in Sauce has been traded. You got to be careful explaining things to a five-year-old these days. I don't know if you saw that video. It's pretty wild.
I need to check that out. I have not seen it.
We'll send it to you. In the remaining minutes I have with you, who's blown up your phone about this team not making a deal or that team making a deal or not liking it? Like, what is the chitter chatter amongst all those that you speak with or reach out to you saying about the Tuesday trade deadline?
I think there's a lot of curiosity on the Cowboys and kind of like how this all plays out and what this winds up looking like, you know, for them, where you have two trades that almost correspond with each other. And like, I actually look at this and say, like, the Cowboys came out. I mean, to me, they got a year and a half older, right? Quinnen for Micah. We can argue like what the gap is between Micah and Quinnen, but they're both great players. You know, you get like about $20 million per year in flexibility that you didn't have if you're Dallas. You move a second round pick up into the first round this year, and you trade like Mozzie Smith, who had, you know, fallen into disrepair for them, for Kenny Clark, who's, you know, a really valuable piece of their defensive front now. So like, that's one thing, like looking at what Dallas did, you know, I think is interesting. As far as like anybody being a little befuddled by inaction or I don't know. I mean, like I would say, you know, like the Eagles obviously were active as always. Like the one thing that kind of like, you know, jumped out at me a little bit was like, you know, like the NFC North teams were relatively quiet.
Yeah.
Now I say that with a caveat that the Packers made a monster move before the season.
Yes, they did. Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they already moved that chess piece around.
Like, no, right. Sure. So you can't, like, it's hard to criticize them for not doing a lot at the deadline when they brought in Micah freaking Parsons in August.
Exactly. You know? Last one for you. I'm going to ask you the question I asked Kurt Warner in hour one, and you have the added help of being an information man. Week 11, it is Cardinals versus the Niners in Arizona. Your best guess of who the starting quarterbacks of that Week 11 game are going to be for Arizona and San Francisco. What do you think?
Brock Purdy and Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. Now, Kurt said Purdy and
Kyler.
Are you saying it's Brissett because you know Kyler's got a foot injury, or is there something going on there? What do you think?
So, like, I think Kyler is this is what's complicated about it for the Cardinals. Kyler is a spectacular individual talent. I feel like, just having talked to those guys, that Jacoby Brissett is unlocking some things with the talent that they've assembled over the last couple of years there under Monty Austin-Fort and Jonathan Gannon, that's at least opened their eyes, you know? And, you know, I think part of that is that we have to look at the quarterback position more critically now. When you see Marvin Harrison coming alive, when you see Trey McBride having huge games,
Michael Wilson,
the offensive line looks better. Like, there's just some things about the operation and the way that Jacoby plays the position where you look at it and say, do we have to look at these things? And I can tell you that other teams are looking at it too. I mean, I was talking to, you know, a head coach a couple weeks ago about like the whole, you know, reclamation project thing that you and I were just talking about, right? Like with Baker and Sam, and the two quarterbacks that came up as like potential reclamation projects for someone in 2026 were Kyler and Tua. Like, two guys that like teams are looking at as like, those two could be available when we get to the off season. So I think like, This is unfortunate timing for Kyler, in that like, a lot of that young talent that they have on that side of the ball in Arizona is ready to produce. And when you see a veteran quarterback who can just kind of put his hands at 10-2, you know, and driving the car, and you're starting to get more out of, you know, again, a Harrison, a McBride, some of the other pieces that they've assembled there, it leads to bigger picture questions. So my guess would be, like, that's a real discussion with on Brissett. Like, and I'll be interested to see which way it goes.
Albert, you're the man. Thanks for the 25 minutes. Greatly appreciate it. It just hit me why I like the new camera is because it blurs the Ohio State stuff in the background. You know,
I'll make that clear for you in about 4 weeks. How about that?
watch back.
No, listen, listen. The way it's working, Sayan looks like a Heisman front runner. Jeremiah Smith looks like he's the Biletnikoff winner right now if he doesn't play another down. Caleb
if it's
Downs,
not Carnell Tate.
That's right, exactly. No, you got those guys. And then, of course, there's Caleb Downs. You've got a ton of talent. There's no
Arvell
question
Reese.
About it.
We might have the five best players in the country.
I understand that. Frequently, that happens a lot. And then big boy pants don't arrive at the stadium when it's time to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Let's just see who's got
more
sand.
I have no comeback.
Let's get see who's got more sand in those pants, Albert. We will see you soon.
I have no comeback for another 4 weeks.
Okay, we'll see. Albert, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You got Albert Burr, everybody. Here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's take a break. We're up against it, and the It is a commercial break. We'll come back. Oh, by the way, Ohio State's number one in the new rankings and all that stuff that came out. We have brackets in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Back on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Just saw in the commercial break, Pete Thamel reporting Notre Dame has added a series with Auburn, which is what everybody's been asking for.
No, I have.
You know,
wait,
I mean,
what?
just in time for Hugh Freeze to be bounced and Auburn to be in the dumps, you know, but they're still going ahead. Oh, by the way,
you want Michigan Notre Dame.
Dude, you do. You know who wants Michigan Notre Dame?
I do.
Every other human being
that
watches collegiate football.
It's the stupidest thing. That
But you ran like chickens.
No, it was you're that coach that's not there anymore.
Excuse me. Brady Hoke properly called you chickens for running.
It's the truth.
Michigan and Notre Dame aren't playing again until 20. They have a home and home.
When?
2033 and 2034.
Hold on. Oh,
that'll be after Bryce Underwood has his third Super Bowl trophy under his belt.
I'm going to be how old?
Deceased. Okay, great. Dead. Hey, man, give everybody what they want. Notre Dame versus Auburn. That's it.
What are we doing?
What are you doing?
It's the truth.
Well, you're winning football games, that's for sure, and making college football playoffs and final last year in Notre Dame. Listen, this is what I'm about to, usually I shouldn't set anything up with what I'm about to show you is meaningless, but it's a great concept. It's a great idea. As you know, in this day and age, anything you can do to break through and get people talking and a buzz going, you do it. If it's, you know, obviously above board. And what the college football playoff committee is doing is coming up with what a bracket looks like.
Yes.
If it started today, right? And, or ESPN's putting it together because, you know,
it's fun.
That's what they do.
Really?
Put it up. Mike Hoskins, there you go. Came out there last night based on the college football playoff rankings released on the 4th of November. And there it is. Ohio State won, no surprise. How about Indiana, too?
Oof.
Just Google why they're two.
Wow.
And by the way, that will never get old. I don't care how many times Kurt Cignetti is going to get that reference. That's the end of that. Texas A&M is three. Alabama's four, which is unbelievable because everybody thought Kalen. Remember back in September when it was looking at Kalen DeBoer's buyout? Right?
Yeah. Some lady was saying if she won the Powerball, she was going to set aside the $73 million to buy him out.
To pay. That was like the first thing she'd do when she won the Powerball.
I would counsel against that.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, I guess if you got money to burn.
Roll Tide.
Georgia Memphis matchup.
Okay.
Sarah would sign for that, right?
Yeah.
On the campus, probably
not
the edges.
Probably not so much about the next round matchup.
next round.
Oh boy! By the way, that's what it should be. Alabama, Georgia. That's what people want to see.
Of course.
And although would we have already seen it?
It's already
in the SEC championship.
Well, that might actually be the third time it's played.
It's so stupid.
I mean,
well, that's why you got to get rid of these championship games. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Let's just go over. Finished. Done with.
Yeah.
We don't need it. It messes with the rankings.
Yep.
And it awards the teams that don't make their conference championship games because they won't go. But no, we won't hurt the. They won't hurt the rankings. That won't hurt you in your seedings. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh really? It'll be the difference between maybe a bye week and not.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I guess is some stakes, but those stakes aren't on the plates of those who miss the conference championship games. You're kind of still rewarding them, but that's for another day. Texas Tech and Oregon is that's an interesting one. Certainly if it's Ohio State, Oregon in the next one. They don't play each other in the regular season. Remember last year they played each other
unreal
in the regular season and the playoffs, and the playoffs was a boat race.
Yeah.
In the Rose Bowl, right?
It was a Rose Bowl.
Ole Miss in Virginia. Okay, baby. But you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Lane Kiffin versus anybody. Right? Fill in the blank. All due respect to Virginia and Chris Long and everybody else. BYU and Notre Dame.
Okay. BYU.
Okay. Do they make up t-shirts, Mormons versus Catholics?
A little bit different than the convicts versus Catholics.
For instance.
So,
convicts versus Catholics.
And then, by the way, Indiana, Notre Dame.
Oh, man.
These are the setups you make, right? Like, it's great. I'll take it.
Which one to be in a Rose Bowl?
Or I think Oregon and Ohio State again. That's the idea. That would be the idea. Alabama, Georgia would definitely take place in Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Atlanta.
I don't know. Do you hear the NFL connected with the college football playoff for the week 16 Saturday games are going to be Green Bay in Chicago and Philadelphia at Washington. And those are going to be 5:30, 5 o'clock and 8:30 kicks to not mess with the college football playoffs that day. So it's going to be college football playoffs and then that doubleheader.
Oh, jeez.
Green Bay at Chicago. Now let's hope Washington has mounted something.
Bye-bye, family.
Exactly. On that day, that's four football games. I think it's two college football.
See you guys later.
No family.
Playoff games and those two weeks. NFL games.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye-bye, family.
Bye-bye, family. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and that's before Christmas week where there's, as you know, night. Netflix games.
Yep.
And then there's the following week. There'll be Saturday games as well on NFL Network and I believe Fox. There's one game on NFL Network. I don't know yet.
Know?
Nah, you don't know. I had a conversation about that yesterday. That'll be 2 weeks out.
One of those games.
No, Chargers are one of those games.
Oh, I thought the Rams were in
there. No, the Chargers have Houston at the Chargers.
Okay.
Listen, for those of us who are then doing NFL game day morning across the street later on, there may be, you know, some rooting for that to wind up on NFL Network. But that, as you know, is above my pay grade. But, you know, bottom line is, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, what, are you starting to push back who makes it, who doesn't?
Not yet. It's just nice to see where we're at right now.
Yeah. I like it.
People can play their ways
first
into
week
it.
In November. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Our new friend Drew Mestemaker in North Texas could play their way in.
There you go.
That was a fun conversation with him. If you missed that, what a story he told on yesterday's program. Let's go to Corey in Oregon. Corey, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Rich, how's it going, man?
What's going on in your mind?
Hey, yeah, I was just calling in to talk about the Chiefs in your power rankings.
Okay.
I have an argument for you of why the Chiefs should be number 10. Patrick Mahomes has only had one game below 500 in his entire.
Oh my God, he's
earlier.
Hold on a minute, your Bluetooth crapped out.
There. Sorry about that.
If you are in your car, Corey, I need you to.
I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
Okay. So I don't know. Something just happened. Just as you were saying, I was right, and that is terrible that I couldn't hear. So what's your fact?
I was just saying that you're right with the Chiefs. Being ranked where they are.
Okay.
Because
you said Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes has only had one game below 500 his entire career. And one of the greatest of all time, Mr. Tom Brady, had 18 games below 500.
What do you mean? Like he played a game only once in his career?
Below 500 in passing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see, under 50%.
Okay, 44%, but that's the first time ever in his career that he's been below 50%.
Okay, I don't know if that, I appreciate you saying I'm right about putting the Chiefs in there. I only put the Chiefs in there because collectively, I think they're still a top third team, and Mahomes is a large part of that collective. But I appreciate the call. That's Corey in Oregon right here. And anybody who wants to call in to say I'm right, please do so. Because I do have a little Jim Rome in me. Please call me up and tell me how great I am. And personally, call me about an interview I just did that's epic.
Randomly, about 7 minutes ago, ESPN popped
Chris
up
loves
on...
it when I go down a level to get in the mosh pit and be petty. You know, but I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was going to say about 7 minutes ago, ESPN NFL popped up your power rankings on Instagram.
How's that working?
It's got 220 likes.
No, I don't care about the likes. Oh, okay. Are there people who are saying
only
that
a
I'm
few
right?
comments? Right, it's been
is
pretty
it,
quick.
Everybody saying it's epic. They want to hear it again.
An Eagles fan said you're a very smart man, Rich. But who cares about them?
Oh yeah.
Denver at three. Nobody's worried about the Broncos.
Nobody's worried about the Broncos.
Why someone says you're glazing the Rams. Where's Tampa? Drake Maylover, Bills at six is disrespectful. See, that's what
Rams,
happens.
The Rams deserve to be praised.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's probably a fan of,
I don't know. Who? The Niners?
Yeah.
Is that probably what it is?
I'd imagine.
Look it up.
Let's see. Let me look at
this. Is that
a
Niner fan? A little bang bang?
Let's see. It will.
You know what I mean?
Well, they only. It's a picture of a little girl giving the bird. So
okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
They heard Brockman talk about the Niners.
Interesting. Well, somebody's number one. I just want to know if it's the Niners in that fans' mind.
I can't really tell.
That was a response, bro.
That was an Eagles fan.
Colts fans are a little upset.
There are many power rankings, but this one is mine. I think the Rams have their kicker and their kicking game frightens me. I mean, it lost them a game in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And last week, I mean, Cardi looked like the ball was like Nuke LaLoosh threw it.
His first kick was just dead left.
It was, again, to use the baseball movie analogy, like straight out of Euchre, just a bit outside. I mean, so I'm concerned about that. Yeah. But other than that, name me a better quarterback two receiver combination in the NFL with a run game to boot. Name me another one.
Well, Flacco and Higgins.
Okay, very good.
Prescott and Williams and Lamb.
And Pickens? And
Pickens.
Come on, man. Over Kyren Bolake, Stafford, Puka, and Devontae Adams. Seriously.
Let's look up the
name
stats.
Name me a better. Like, you could have Saquon behind Hurts and AJ and
there you go.
Devontae.
That's up there.
Okay. Byron Young and the rest of that defense. You've got Fisk to go along with Jared Verse. Come on now.
Yeah. I mean, Drake May and anyone who's running a 40-yard goal, honestly.
Look at that. I guess Trevion Henderson's taking over with Ramondre. In all seriousness, running back, quarterback, receiver combination, pass rush. Who's built like that? The Eagles and the Rams.
Well, I mean, we got
Give me someone else.
I'm just saying.
That'd be a fun NFC Championship game.
Rams and Eagles?
Yeah.
Well, it's a great division matchup, too, in the snow. All right, we come back, and a press conference moment out of the city of Boston. Have you seen this?
I have.
Okay. It's something.
It's something.
And it's something. How about this? It's enough to crack our rundown.
It's something.
Okay. I can't wait to see this.
That's coming up next as we finish up this Wednesday show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
You've made your point.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is still going on, folks. It's been going on for 27 years. Don't you know, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research for over 27 years. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more about this awesome program. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. All right, so we went to break saying a soundbite press conference moment in Boston. I think you think it's, I'm talking about Vrabel, right, Christopher?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is what Vrabel had to say about why the Patriots didn't make a trade.
Deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no, like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a great
Vrabel.
I love it.
Do we wow. come up with a Vrabel, you know, sales
oh,
moment?
Yeah. I don't know. But
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
You know, but that's not the press conference moment from Boston I was referring to.
Oh, it's not.
Listen, losing is not fun. Losing is certainly not fun when you're 1-8 and your only win is against Fordham and you've lost 8 in a row. And everybody thinks the former Patriots sideline coach having the toughest time in the ACC is Bill Belichick. It is not. It is Bill O'Brien, whose first year in Boston College wound up in the Pinstripe Bowl. So it was a nice year for them. And then this year again, 1-8, 8-game losing streak. Almost as long as the losing streak Syracuse has gone on since their coach was on the program, as the cooler was once again striking again for his college team. But hey, anyway, long story short, the ACC team on a losing streak is Boston College. And it led to this exchange between Bill O'Brien and a reporter.
Oh. Wondering, do you have a message for the fans? Obviously, losing to Notre Dame, Catholic school rival, 1-8 now in the season of BC. I've heard from a lot of fans. They're just really
yeah. I'm really glad. You know, I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down. We're fighting. We're competing. You know, it's the second year of this program, Mike. You always come in here with these down questions. Like, you show up like once a month or something like that. You come in here with these down questions. I'm not down. I don't know what year you graduated from BC, but this is a program that we're building. Okay. Nobody here's down. We're positive. We're going to show up and play our asses off against SMU. You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trevor?
Everybody knew that is fantastic.
What's up, Trevor?
Oh my God! That's
by the way, what's up, Trevor? Is now in the same. Is it in the same pantheon?
No, it's better.
It's better than Matt Leinart. It's Mark Dalton saying Matt Leinart is next after the We Are Who They Thought They Were rant. So that's a PR guy trying to churn the page for the coach. And Denny Green, this is him doing his own
Imagine
transition.
Denny Green being like, and Matt Leinart's coming up next.
Oh. What's up, Trevor?
Yeah. What's up, Trevor?
I need that as a drop.
That is.
I think you have it, Mike. We've
no,
sent
I'm
you
talking
drops.
About, I'm talking oh, about
you,
the...
Oh, no, no. You do have a drop from it, because I think we chose a specific portion of it.
Hold on.
So that is,
Amazing.
You know, you remember the... You remember the character, the Martin Short character, the defensive lawyer on SNL, when he's smoking the cigarette, like, he's like, I'm not nervous. Are you nervous or something like that? Or,
right.
You know? I'm not lying. Are you lying? And she's basically like, we're not down.
Yeah. The sun's shining.
We're happy.
Whatever dark cloud you're living in, we're up. We're not down.
Yeah.
What's up, Trevor?
Again, it's not funny when you're 1-8.
It's not funny. And I like B.O.B., but
man, I know. When at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, I think he might, you know, regret it. Although it appears that somebody who's not showing up a lot.
Yeah, the guy comes once a month and asks down questions.
Right.
Man.
But I do believe we have a drop from that. And Mike's giving me the one second sign when there's only 15
hold
of them
on,
left
Rich.
On the program. So
I didn't say hold on, Rich.
Oh, okay. But you're doing, I was doing the.
Anyway, long story short.
Down. The sun is up.
Okay.
I'm not down.
The sun is up. I think we might have a future drop.
Nathan Thurm was.
Is that who it is? Do we know who Trevor is?
No, I'm talking about that was Martin Short's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like he's asking the questions.
While he's smoking the cigarette.
Remember, all the way, you see the ash coming all the way out?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.